Today on Real Life Radio.
Did you give your heart to Christ when you were 6 years old and you've kind of had a rough go and then you wandered away from Jesus, but you knew you should come back and you knew you weren't living for him, and now all of a sudden you are whatever you are of age now and you're here? You know why you're here? Because he doesn't give up. Isn't it amazing? So I used to walk with God, but you know, I have things. Listen, I don't want to know. He knows. That's why you're hearing this right now. In all of your life circumstances, he's gotten a hold of you.
Welcome to Real Life Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Life Radio, Pastor Jack now continues his series called Combat Faith, a study in 2 Peter, with a message titled The End, Part 1. The end of the world as we know it cannot be avoided, but you can be prepared for it. Peter has only a little time now left before he himself will be crucified for his faith in Jesus Christ. So his final warning is to prepare us about the danger of only knowing who Jesus is as opposed to having a relationship with him. You see, salvation doesn't come by just knowing God, but also having faith in God. When you humbly come before his son Jesus, turn away from your sin and invite him into your life. Judgment is coming to this world, that's for sure. And there's only one way of escape, and that's through salvation in Jesus Christ. So on this part of today's message, Pastor Jack reminds us to keep our eye on what's ahead. For the Christ follower, the future is nothing to fear. The end is coming to the earth, and so is God's judgment. But for all of us who call Jesus Christ our Lord, we'll be taken up beforehand and will forever be with him. And now in his message called The End, Part 1, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
The last 2,000 years, the gospel of grace, the cross, the empty tomb, salvation by faith in Christ alone has been preached, and it's being preached now to you here today. That for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever would believe in him would not perish but have everlasting life. That Jesus is the one who announces, if a man were to die, he said, believing in me, yet shall he live. Isn't that a tremendous statement? If you analyze that, by the way, in the original Greek language, it tells us that a believer can only die in his body. You say, wasn't that enough? No. No, because listen, you, who you are today, you are not your body. This body is a little part of you. I know you focus on it a lot. And, I mean, I do too. We put deodorant on it and formaldehyde and perfume and we paint it and dress it. But this carcass is dying, man. And this is the least important part of who we are. Christ died for us, and there's salvation in him and only him alone. And we're happy about that because there's an end coming. God has promised an end. In fact, just sneak a little bit back. Look chapter 3, 2 Peter 3. Look at verses 8 and 9. He said to us last time together, but beloved, do not forget this one thing, that with the Lord one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is as one day. And the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering, patient toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And I left off, the last time you and I were together, I left off with that word. That was the last word, repentance. And that's the first word of the gospel. And God is waiting. And remember, don't get bogged down with 1,000 years in one day and trying to figure that out. It just means that God's eternal. And one day to him is as long as 1,000 years. Isn't that freak you out? That's impossible for us to fathom. So this is a very, very important and powerful truth. So in this, listen, I pray as we begin now this portion of scripture that God speaks to your heart. God challenges you. God comforts you. And in setting that up, I want to give you a little audio portion of the book Heaven by Randy Alcorn. This is about you and I as believers having our focus on heaven. When the Bible tells us that we are to live to the glory of God and to enjoy Him forever, you are to keep that truth before you at all times. Church, are you listening right now? You are to keep that before you at all times. You are to have Jesus Christ as your focal point. I'm going to say target. For those of you who shoot guns, by the way, there's a lot of you who shoot guns at this church. It's pretty amazing. And a lot of them are women. And I understand there's some real marksmen marksmen here that are women, some tremendous shooters. And you have to aim. How many of you mow your own lawns? Anybody? When you mow your lawn? Nobody? Five of us? Ten? You have a lawn? You have a dead lawn today. It's dead. You ever mow a, you know, look, some people mow their lawns. They're like, they're texting people. They're pushing the mower. They don't care. It looks like, when they're done, it looks like spaghetti. Their lawn looks like spaghetti. It's crazy. That makes me nervous, by the way. I see that. It makes me nervous. When I mow the lawn, I have to mow it straight. Do you know how to mow a straight lawn? You know how to do that? You cannot do it like this. If you do it like this, it'll look crazy. You know what you have to do? You have to put your eye way across the yard on a rock or on a tree or something, and you start the mower and you look straight at it. You don't take your eye off of it and you start walking toward it. Guess what will happen? It seems weird, but when you get to the end, you turn around and you go, wow, am I amazing at mowing a straight line. Has nothing to do with you except this. You kept your eye on the focal point. The object's the focal point. Christ is the focal point. Regarding the end, regarding life, regarding godliness, regarding sin, regarding everything that you and I do, keep your eye focused on Him to the end, and it will go well with you. And to get a little bit of that, listen to this true story of a young woman who, well, listen for yourself.
In 1952, young Florence Chadwick stepped into the Pacific Ocean off Catalina Island, determined to swim to the shore of mainland California. She'd already been the first woman to swim the English Channel both ways. The weather was foggy and chilly. She could hardly see the boats accompanying her. Still, she swam for 15 hours. When she begged to be taken out of the water along the way, her mother, in a boat alongside, told her she was close and that she could make it. Finally, physically and emotionally exhausted, she stopped swimming and was pulled out. Not until she was on the boat did she discover the shore was less than half a mile away. At a news conference the next day, she said, "All I could see was the fog. I think if I could have seen the shore, I would have made it." Consider her words. "I think if I could have seen the shore, I would have made it." For believers, that shore is Jesus, and being with Him in the place that He promised to prepare for us, to live with Him forever. The shore we should look for is that of the new earth. If we can see through the fog and picture our eternal home in our mind's eye, it will comfort and energize us.
Isn't that exciting to think about, that there's a focal point, that there's a target that we're living for? We can get so bogged down and busy in this life, we forget that. And then Peter introduces and reminds us about the end. Mark it down. It's in verse 10. Regarding the end, it's something that you and I know. You and I know that the end is coming. Every human being has got this concept, this idea, this witness about the end. Everyone. I don't care who you say you are, what you believe or don't believe. Down inside, there's an internal witness. And God says, "I've put eternity in your hearts." And with that is the deposit that all things must come to an end. And we know this. God says this, the Bible says this, and even on our own witness, there's this announcement over and over again about the end. When we talk about the end, Bible students, mark this down. This is key. I may bore you to death with this. You need to know this. When you read about or study the end regarding Scripture, you need to at least begin with three different specific notations in the Bible, and I'm going to hope all of you of Bible students write this down. Look at verse 10. It says, "But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night." We'll get the details on that in a moment. "In which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in them will be burned up. That is a massive, incredibly important theological statement. And as just that verse alone has been the cause of books to be in libraries. Just that one verse. So church, mark this down if you would. Do you see at the beginning, the day of the Lord? Will you write that down? According to the Bible, there's the day of the Lord. According to the Bible, there is the day of Christ or Jesus Christ. It's different. According to the Bible, there's the day of God. Those are the three primary descriptions of days that matter regarding the end. You say, well, Jack, which one matters to me? I don't know. Because what needs to be asked of you is which one of these days at the end of this service matters to you. It's based upon your choice. For example, mark it down. This here, the day of the Lord here in verse 10 needs to be circled because Zephaniah chapter 1 verse 14 can go right next to your margin. This is the day of the Lord. The great day of the Lord is near. It is near and hastens quickly. The noise, interesting, Peter talks about the noise, same noise, of the day of the Lord is bitter. There the mighty men shall cry out. The day of the Lord is known in the Bible as a great and terrible day. Did you know that? The day of the Lord. You see, Pastor, I've never heard that before. Well, we need to read the Bible carefully. The day of the Lord is the day of God's great vengeance and great judgment that's going to come upon the earth, specifically during the tribulation period. The day of the Lord. Amos chapter 5, verse 20. Amos 5:20 says, is not the day of the Lord darkness and not light? It's a very awesome time, a terrifying time. That's why many times you've read in your Bible that the scriptures announce that it is the great and notable day of the Lord, or the great and terrible day of the Lord. Has that ever thrown you off? It's like, wait a minute, I thought his coming back was fantastic. It is for you, the believer. When we talk about the day of the Lord, we're not talking about the rapture. We're not talking about the day that you die and see Jesus. That's not the day of the Lord. The day of the Lord is the day, remember what Jesus, are you guys with me? Yes. Remember when Jesus paused at that comma? It's where that comma picks up. That's what Peter's talking about. There's coming a time, this is so serious. There's coming a time that after these last 2,000 years, God is going to blow past that comma, Peter is saying, and he's going to pick up where he left off. And what is that like? It's the vengeance of our God. See, Jack, are you sure about that? Yep. See, you and I live in an age where we want a new Jesus, a new version. We want a politically correct version. Jesus. We can't have a Jesus being angry. Oh, listen, God gets angry, but God's anger is pure perfect. You know, our anger is goofy, weird. He gets angry because he's holy and righteous. And his anger is not a sin. His anger is righteous and perfect. The Bible warns us, though, that the day of the Lord is darkness. It's foreboding. It's what the Bible tells us in the book of Revelation from chapters 6 to 19. Also this, Joel chapter 3, verse 14, regarding the day of the Lord. Joel says, multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decision, for the day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision. That is the great judgment where Jesus sits upon the throne in Jerusalem and separates the nations at the end of the tribulation period when Christ returns to earth. That's part of the end. Secondly, you want to write this down? There's another day, and it's known as the day of Christ, or the day of the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is the one that you and I as believers, how many Christians are in here? I need to get encouragement here. Okay, good. This is the one that we're all excited about. Okay, by the way, the one I just shared with you, we will witness it from up there. These next two we will live and enjoy the next two descriptions of these days. Secondly, this right here, the day of Christ. Philippians 1, verses 6 and 10. This is awesome. Philippians 1, 6. Being confident of this very thing, that he, that's God, who has begun a good work in you, will complete it until what? The day of Jesus Christ, or the day of Christ. That's good news. Listen, did you give your heart to Christ when you were 6 years old and you've kind of had a rough go, and then you wandered away from Jesus, but you knew you should come back, and you knew you weren't living for him, and now all of a sudden you are whatever you are of age now, and you're here. You know why you're here? Because he doesn't give up. Isn't it amazing? So I used to walk with God, but you know, I think, listen, I don't want to know. He knows. That's why you're hearing this right now. In all of your life circumstances, he's gotten a hold of you. And listen, people who are stubborn and are now waking up, they've gone through a really rough road. Why? Because they're stubborn. People who are more sensitive, the road wasn't so rough. They got, look, God nudged them. They got the idea and they came back. Okay, Jesus, I'm back. I'm not going to stray anymore. Listen, some of us have a little harder heads. Really, it's a stronger will. And that's not always good. But you're hearing this right now. It's God's desire to prepare you for the day of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what God's doing. Philippians 1 verse 10 says that you may approve the things that are excellent, that you may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ. God is working in your life. It's beautiful. You can't escape. You can try. It's rough. Don't do it. If you do, when he urges you to come back, obey him. But he's calling out to you because the day of Christ is when God works in the lives of his children, and he's bringing you to that shore. Remember, he said a moment ago that if I could just see the shore, if I could just, I was so close. That swimmer was so close. Keep your eye on Christ. He's going to finish what he's begun, and he will not abandon the work that he has started in you. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 18. 1 Corinthians 1, 18 says this, who will also confirm you to the end? Wow. That you may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. Confirm you? Oh, church, rejoice in this. Who's going to do the confirming? So I'm going to get all dressed up because I'm going to go to confirmation. Fine, go. It ain't going to do nothing. He's the one that purchased salvation at the cross. Okay? Then to empower it, he rose from the dead. He not only said it, he did it. And then, listen, concerning death, he broke it. The empty tomb in Jerusalem proves that Christ broke the grave. He crushed the grave, and it has no power over all those who put their trust in his work, in what he's done. Having said that, watch this. God the Father was looking upon God the Son, Jesus, to be our sacrifice, to be our salvation, to be our Savior. Watch how this works. That's why you and I trying to impress God with our efforts, our morality, is an assault upon the nature of God. If in any one of our hearts we say, I've lived a pretty good day today. I prayed a little extra long. I even read one more chapter more than I normally do. Hi, God, what are we doing today? I'm doing really good today. Okay, you got to watch that attitude. That's really weird. Because he died for us, the scripture says that in the mind of God, Christ's sacrifice at the cross was an eternal idea of God. God didn't think it up after Adam and Eve blew it. He didn't say, oh my goodness, Gabriel, what are we going to do now? It was the plan. He knew this, to display his grace and his mercy for all time and eternity. And Jesus comes into this world. Listen, God in skin. It had to be that way. It had to be God in human flesh. It had to be God inhabiting humanity, because a human had to die for us to be our sacrifice. But we couldn't find a human, could we? So God came. And here's the deal. Here's the confirmation that Jesus Christ completely satisfied the Father. Fully. I think one great Puritan writer said, God is easy to please, but hard to satisfy. Isn't that true? Jesus comes along, according to the scriptures, we read it in 1 Corinthians 15, and he dies in our place. Everything's according to the Bible. Everything's according to the will. Everything is written down in Bible prophecy. And he dies in your place and in my place. And it's God in human skin that does that. And then he is resurrected from the dead. And here's the deal. Between the Father and the Son is an agreement that cannot be broken. Let me be sarcastic and blunt at the same time. Whoever you may be, whatever you do with this invitation, this news regarding this gospel, it's on you. Whatever you do with it, it's on you. But if you choose to accept Christ as your Lord and Savior, all the thanks is on him because he made the way possible. So the thing is this, with what he's done, God the Father, in this covenant relationship with his Son, has signed an agreement, so to speak, that cannot be broken if you decide to go to heaven or not, if you decide hell or not. It doesn't change the confirmation between the Son and the Father. Are you with me? Yes. It's real, it's active, and it's insured by God. It is guaranteed by God. And nothing that you do or do not do changes it. And so God invites you to enter into the deal. You say, what do I need to do to the deal? Enter into it. Well, what else? Get into it. Run. Come to him. Get into the deal. The Bible calls it this way, in Christ, all those who are in Christ. Just get in there and come to him. And then the Bible tells us about the day of God. This is the day that all of us as believers will enjoy, the day of God. According to the Bible, the day of God is what you and I would say is the day that eternity begins. So watch this, everybody. You have to watch my hands because I don't know how else to say it, but without my hands. What's coming is the day of the Lord. And that's the vengeance of God on earth. You can read the book of Revelation for details. Today at any time is the day of Christ where you can accept him now as Lord and Savior. It's certainly the day of Jesus Christ is when the church is caught up. It's referred to as the day of Christ. And God dealing with his people, the day of Christ. But then there's the day of God. When the reign of Jesus has come to a complete, that is going to be the millennium. That's 1,000 years from Jerusalem. That hasn't happened yet. When all that you and I have known in this physical realm is done away, when you read here that things are melted with the elements and the burning and the fervent heat, when God creates a new heaven and a new earth, that day is the day of God. It's one day, it is eternal.
Pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs, here on Real Life Radio, in a message called The End, Part 1. We're so glad you joined us today. The End, Part 1. It's part of Pastor Jack's series called Combat Faith, A Study in 2 Peter. It's a series about the Apostle Peter, whose life was transformed by the salvation of Jesus Christ and whose passion was to live out his faith as a messenger of the gospel. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Life Radio. Hey, we're excited to announce that Pastor Jack is going to be hosting another Bible prophecy conference. It's called Behold He Comes. Special guests, Jan Markell, Amir Sarfati, and Pastor Barry Stagner. And you are invited to join us through our exclusive live stream pass. Now, the streaming pass gives you special access to watch the conference live on Saturday, September 11th, and includes 2 hours of additional pre-recorded interviews, teachings, and backstage access with the speakers for a $5 purchase. By the way, also Spanish and Mandarin Chinese translations are available. If you'd like more information and to get your streaming pass, simply visit beholdhecomes.org. We also have a special opportunity available for churches that would like to host this conference through a live simulcast event with their congregations to watch the conference together. Now, if your church is interested in hosting the Behold He Comes Prophecy Conference, or to find a church in your area hosting the event, simply visit beholdhecomes.org. That's beholdhecomes.org. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Life Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Life Radio.